Absolutely, and we've got an hour to go now with phone calls with Michael Tesarian, Jordan Maxwell, and you. So we'll do this when we come right back. Okay, we're going to take your phone calls in just a second with Jordan Maxwell and Michael Tesarian. And Michael, by the way, I just wanted to compliment you. Jordan already knows what I think of him. I wanted to compliment you on the work you've been doing all of these years as well. Helping society, I think, to open up their eyes before it's too late.
I appreciate that, George. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to speak with you on these fascinating subjects. You know, I mean, it's really great. One thing I would say about this latest book is that we're approaching sold-out status. Isn't that great?
Already?
Yeah. Just in the 5 days. It was going good. And then when Coast to Coast put up the
bang, it
promo.
Happened.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. And I'd also make a note about that. If somebody goes online and they note that it's in back order status, they can still go ahead and order because it's smooth and it's very prompt. You'll still get a copy, no problem, just in case you notice that it's on, we've made a note that it's on back order status.
Good. Okay.
Just go ahead and process your order, and, you know, we'll get your book promptly anyway.
Okay, let's go to the phones. You can refer your question to either Michael or Jordan or both if you want. West of the Rockies, you are on with us, Vince. Hi there.
Hi, George. Jordan and Michael, what a blessing this show is tonight. I have one simple question, and that is, do you believe that Jesus Christ was indeed God on earth?
Well, I guess I'll take that first.
Okay.
No, I don't believe that Jesus Christ was God on earth. I have the highest of admiration. I have 35 different Bibles in my possession, which are on my shelves right here in front of me. I have the highest of admiration for everything reported in the scriptures that Jesus has said. I live by those words. So I have no problem with the words and the teachings attributed to Jesus, but I do not believe that Jesus was God on the earth or God at all, because I believe God is too big for one religion. If you saw the movie Contact, at the very beginning of the movie was that beautiful rendition of how you're leaving the earth and going through space and going through deep space. Well, any creator that is powerful enough to create the whole universe is not going to be able to, you know, it would not lower itself to be just a man on earth. When we trace back where we got that concept from, we find that there are many, many different religions that have personified their gods in human form. So I don't believe for a minute that Jesus was God, no. But I have the highest respect for spirituality, for the Bible, and for all the words of Jesus.
And you believe he could have been mystical as well, Jordan?
No, of course,
yeah. All right, thanks. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line, Tim in Illinois. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good, we're well.
I just pretty much just have to let both of these gentlemen know that the young people are waking up. I'm only 27 years old. You can see it on the YouTube channels. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much about it. Just to give a good comment. I mean, we are waking up. It's everywhere.
What's waking up the young people, Tim? What's happening?
I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. I mean, I haven't watched my TV in over a year now.
Good.
It changes your whole reality. I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something divine. It's just, I just woke up one day and just said, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's your network anecdote, George. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, we don't need to know what it is. First, just get mad. Fall in love with the word no and just, you know, start evolving, you know. And you don't really need to know the mechanics of it yet. Just get with it. You know, that's the way it should happen.
You know, I grew up during the Vietnam era, and then I went to college and, you know, did my thing and did my 9 years service and did my – but I didn't go to Vietnam, nor did I see combat. But it wasn't until I watched the Forrest Gump movie did I look at that scene at Washington, D.C., of all these people who were opposed to the war, that I realized – how right they were and how wrong so many people were then to chastise them. Now, I'm not talking about the troops, because I think the troops coming back from Vietnam were not treated like the troops who have been in Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, we have more patriotism today with our troops than we did then. But the issue of the war in Vietnam at the time, people who were opposed to it were laughed at, and they were right. These people were right. McNamara lied. They all lied to us, Jordan.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, have you seen that quote on my website of Henry Kissinger in his book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye? And Henry Kissinger's quote is devastating. Kissinger said, the military, soldiers are nothing but, I can't even remember exactly. You need to go on my website and check out the box's quotes. But there was a devastating comment made by Kissinger concerning the military. He said that that they're nothing but just animals to be used in the slaughter. They couldn't care less. They're just animals to be used in the slaughter to accomplish our goals. So we just use people. If they get killed, who the hell cares? They're just GIs, which is a government issue.
You know, before Ho Chi Minh ran to the arms of the Chinese, he begged us to work with him.
Yeah.
He begged us. And we turned our back on him, and everything fell apart.
Well, yeah, because there's a whole scheme going on behind the scenes that we don't understand. So that's all there is to it.
Well, that's true.
I've said so many times that if you have a two-story building and you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, the first thing to do, if you got any sense at all, is to go downstairs with a building inspector and go up on a ladder and see, look at the foundations of that second floor before you go building on
it. That makes sense, Jordan.
Well, of course, but what you're doing then is you're standing under the foundation you're going to build on, and that's where we get the term understanding, because if you're not standing under the thing you're building your life on, being if you're not researching and studying, you know, you may be getting a beautiful home for half price. Yeah, but it's sitting on the San Andreas Fault, and that's why it's going so cheap. So you need to do some homework and study for your own edification as to where things come from, because ignorance is killing the human race.
Yeah, and when you've got a criminal syndicate operating every aspect of your life, and who doesn't mind sacrificing your sons and fathers, you know, in the wars that they have manufactured, right? Which I'm glad to see, like Tim, the caller, was saying there, you know, there's a YouTube generation. This is happening. People are getting aware of some of this stuff, that wars have been contrived. They're not based on anything real. They're certainly, you know, contrived. Well, then start studying the criminal syndicates, these power brokers that Jordan and I are referring to. You see, who would do this? Who would manipulate this? Start studying their psychic profile to find out what makes them tick, find out what weapons they're using, and find out how you can ultimately, become immune to it. Because once you find that anecdote, you know, it's like the Omega Man, that old movie with Charlton Heston. You know, once you can see and face the light, then you have nothing to fear.
I'm starting to do some research on aspartame as a possible story. Yeah. And let me tell you, how that got approved is criminal. Yeah. Is criminal.
That's right. Wasn't it on the list of the mind control drugs? I mean, long ago?
The acid within it was eating the brains of mice, and they got that approved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and it's a big story. I mean, I've got data on it now. I'm not ready for the show yet, but when I come out with it, some people who got that thing approved are going to turn and run the other way.
They should. Yep. George, it's not a self-serving statement I want to make, but I do want to say that I've got three books that are dealing with the exact subjects we're dealing with tonight, right on my homepage. One is called Occult Theocracy, and it's over 500 pages of research into cults and sects and different movements and the different religious orders and where they've come from. And the second book right next to it is Symbols, Sects, and the Stars, one of the most incredible books I've ever read on explaining where the religious concepts and ideas in the world have actually come from. And then the third one is called Stellar Theology and Masonic Astronomy, it explains in detail the Masonic Order's use of symbols, emblems, astral theology. And there's nothing evil about this. It is an educational tool to understand how the world really works, what these words really mean. And these three books in particular, I have loved. That's why I prominently put them on the home page because they're so extraordinarily interesting and fascinating reading. You need to wake up because your mind is like a parachute. It doesn't work if it's not open. You need to read and understand how the world really works around you. If you're really concerned about your spirituality, then you better start educating yourself spiritually.
So true. Now, go ahead, Michael.
Jordan, that book by Lady Queensborough?
Yes.
A lot of people in history don't even realize that it was two women that are pretty much the pioneers of the conspiracy movement.
Yeah, I know. Lady Queensborough.
We're talking Nesta Webster, right?
Webster.
Mm-hmm. Subversive societies and secret movements.
Secret societies and subversive orders, yeah.
Subversive orders, yeah, and the world conspiracy. And also then Lady Queensborough's Edith Starr Mill. So yeah. The book that Jordan was talking about there is a compendium. Anyone who's interested, for instance, in the IRA, not just them, but any terrorist organization in the world, Lady Queensborough, who was married, you see, to one of these dignitaries in the British government, and who used to overhear a lot of this insider dealings. These are aristocrats, and she decided that the world had to know. She wouldn't keep silent like all the rest of the ladies and, you know, and the wives of these cigar-smoking, you know, tweed suit-wearing English dignitaries at the turn of the century. She refused to stay quiet and basically start then researching this, because she had overheard her husband and all of these different parliamentarians and all the shenanigans that they get up to, you see, and people who are interested in these secret societies. This book is amazing.
And this is an e-book.
She goes into the history of the IRA in Ireland. You know, Irishmen don't even understand it, that the Orange Lodge and the IRA, which originally was the Irish Republican Brotherhood, which is connected to the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which is connected to Theobald Wolfe Tone and the Freemasons. You see, all of these potentates and individuals who were at the heart of these organizations, they appear as political edifices to the world. But they were actually Masonic secret societies in their inception, and that's who's been funding them, the Black Hand, the underground movement, these Templar associations out of France and Scotland and England, you see, and in Rome also. This book is fundamental, and so the other books that Jordan mentioned are really, these are reference works. This is what we refer to as reference works. I refer to them in my work. And people need to build up a library, you know, a small library or a big library, try to get hold of some of these rare and unique works, which are very rare and hard to find in the world today, like I was saying earlier about the works of Gerald Massey.
And also, these books are e-books. You don't have to wait for the mail. Just download them now.
Yeah.
But and the reason why I think this is important and I'm saying this is because I'm not sure how much longer my website will be allowed to be up. So, you know, you better check my website out while it's still here, because who knows what will happen tomorrow.
Good point. Let's go to our wild card line, Ralph in Texas. Go ahead, Ralph.
Hello, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, loud and clear.
Morning, gentlemen. Have any of you ever read a book by Peter Mace? I read it back in the 1980s. It was called In God's Name. It was about the death of John Paul II.
Oh, have a jest. Oh, have a jest. There's about seven different books. David Yeller did one of the best ones. But there's seven different books I have on that one subject. Yeah, the killing of the Pope and how he died on the 33rd day. By poison. Yeah, there's like I said, there's at least seven good books written on that one subject, and that incidentally was the basis for Godfather 3, the third in the series. So go check out the Godfather, the third one in the series. That's what it was all about, the killing of the Pope.
Okay, I didn't know that, but
yeah.
it clearly showed the evidence that the church had been overthrown from the inside. You know?
Oh,
that's
yes.
Right.
Oh, heavens, yes.
And this is what we need to also understand, because some of the latest mainstream shows that, you know, maybe come on PBS in America, or maybe come on, you know, sort of these high-profile media oracles, the lies that they disseminate. So one of the other issues, you know, which I really have to emphasize, is that people need to come to those scholars who have some sort of, you know, knowledge and background in this subject, is because now you probably noticed, Ralph, and other listeners have probably noticed, that a lot of this subject matter is leaking into the mainstream, and some of that is not good, because it's the 70-30 split. It's 70%, you know, lies, 30% truth. People have realized that there's a change in the tide, a sea change, that people in the world are getting interested in this information. So the establishment forces just don't sit there and, you know, ignore that. They also get with it. They often co-opt the information of people like Jordan Maxwell, and they run with it with no credit to the man, no credit to the Gerald Masseys of the world, you see. And then they co-opt it, they repackage it in their own form, they dumb it down, and they plunk it up there for everybody on the Discovery Channel or A&E with big statements like the Illuminati has nothing to do with the Vatican, you know, or, you know, the Yale University, you know, it's like, you know, Santa Claus has got nothing to do with Christmas, you know, this kind of palaver. And, of course, if you have never listened to Coast, if you've not researched, you know, Jordan or myself or any of these people, you might be exposed to that information for the first time through the television. And therefore, you're going to now be learning all the bad habits, all the wrong information, and that will steer you even more in the dark. You see, so we have to be aware that the channels, the TV, is also somewhat co-opting some of this information in exactly the same way it did with the New Age movement. Not because they really want to educate people, but because they want to confuse people and put in so many red herrings and so many false leads that in the end you're exacerbated, you see, because your general natural curiosity and your natural interest in these subject matters can also be subverted by the mainstream. They may give you some elements of truth, but you can better believe they ain't going to be talking about the depths, you know, that we are talking about Ireland, about the Druids, about the secret symbolism, you know, about all of these ancestral and esoteric things. So bear in mind what Jordan is saying. You know, there is no longevity here with what we're doing. You know, we're in the target. You know, we're in the crosshairs, you know. And we've also got this barrage now of dumbed-down soundbite material coming on the television that is trying to do justice to this esoterica, the founding of America, you know, the lost Ark of the Covenant, whatever. It's plagiarized, it's stolen, it's packaged, it's revamped, and it's stuck on there with, you know, it's pretty much ridiculous. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen myself, I'm saying this because I've sat and watched it, you know, stuff on the Freemasons and whatnot, and it's bunk, you know, it's absolutely riddled with inconsistencies and half-truths and fallacies, and I'm worried. My heart is glad to see that this information is getting onto mainstream, but then, of course, it's soured by the fact that, you know, it's being misrepresented. So a message of caution to people that they need to go to those people who've really done the homework and are not just creating a 30-minute or a 60-minute fiasco, you know, which is going to make the issue and these subjects even more complex.
George, you know, in the movie, not National Treasure, Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
At the very beginning of the movie, what's his name? The star of Da Vinci Code.
That was Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yep.
Tom Hanks is introduced. He's in an sitting in an audience, and he's been introduced as a next speaker. And he's going to do a slide presentation. And they introduce him as the world's foremost expert on occult secret societies and symbols, right? And he walks up on the stage, and he's standing in front of the screen. And on the screen is being projected a slide presentation. And on the screen is the pyramid with on the back of the dollar bill. Now, he walks in front of the screen and is pointing out the symbols on the dollar bill, pointing to the all-seeing eye and talking about the Illuminati. That is on my basic slide presentation done 10 years before. Exactly. I'm standing on the stage, walking in front of the screen with the back of the dollar bill being projected the screen, identical.
Same thing. We'll be back with final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. You know, whether you're 24 or 64, your health should be very important to you, and how much you care about your family, that's also very important as well. So our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about alternative medicine, efforts to keep you alive as long as possible. I think you're going to enjoy the program with the specialists and guests who will be coming in to tell you some things that you can do for yourself, because I got to tell you, nobody else will. And also in the first hour, for just a bit, as a news item, Harriet Fellman from St. Louis will join us. She has multiple sclerosis and will tell us how she put together a group to come up with a novel idea to help people with MS as well. 400,000 cases all the time in this country. And we'll be back in a moment with the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Jordan, the incredible internet sensation movie Zeitgeist has a lot to do with you. Tell me about it.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Peter Joseph Morella in New York actually produced that two-hour sensation that was well over. Last time I looked, about 4 or 5 months ago, it was at 15 million downloads off of Google alone. It's called Zeitgeist. And as a matter of fact, he actually said on a radio talk show that he based the entire work on my work. He based the entire movie on my work, that I inspired him to do that two-hour video. And I was amazed. I didn't know anything about it. So somebody called and told me, did you know that there's a movie out there called Zeitgeist based on your work? And the guy's name was Peter Joseph Morella, and you can go out and check it out and watch it yourself on the Google. It's called Zeitgeist, Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T.
Isn't there a comic book coming out with you on it, too?
You know, I've already got three of them out there.
Yeah, do you? Okay.
Yeah, go on. As a matter of fact, I've got the, it's right on my home page. If you scroll down, you'll see the whole comic book series. There's a whole comic book series been done on me, and that was amazing to me. I didn't know anything about it until it happened. And there's one thing I want to clarify quickly before I forget it, and I need to do this. When I'm talking about secret societies and fraternal orders, what I am not talking about is your local Masonic lodge. I'm not talking about a Masons in America, because I know way...
I'm glad you're pointing that out, too, Bob.
Yeah, I know way too many Masons who are dear friends of mine, who are on my side on this issue, who are very concerned about our republic and our country, and they're very, very well aware of all of the dangers facing us in this world. And so I'm not talking about the Masons in America and the Masonic Lodge in your hometown. When I'm talking about secret societies, I'm talking about the real secret societies, these ancient fraternal orders operating in Europe, especially in Italy. There's a lot of stuff been going on in Italy. Of course, you know, for over 2,300 years, Rome has dominated Europe under the Caesars. And then for 1,600 years or so, the Vatican has dominated Europe. So when I'm talking about secret societies, I'm talking mostly and mainly about the occult orders of religion and secret societies in Rome and in Europe that have been causing devastation around the world. And the royalty that's connected behind the scenes to these secret orders that are just decimating the human race on the earth. I'm not talking about the good and decent people here in America who belong to Masonic orders. So I just want to make sure that everyone understands. The guys in the Masonic orders in America, I have no problem with at all. I'm talking about some real ancient old things which have been going on in Europe. And think about it. Rome has dominated Europe for over 2,300 years, and Europe has dominated the world for 2,300 years. So, not America. We need to look at Europe and all of these ancient occult orders that have been operating behind religions and governments. So,
if I may interject there, Jordan.
Go ahead,
how where did we get our information, if not from whistleblowing Masonic writers who wrote most of my library?
Of course. So much of what I've been able to glean from my research has come from Masonic writers and brilliant men in American Freemasonry who have given their lives for this country and given knowledge and wisdom to us that we would never have had. So, and besides, you know, go back and look at the Constitution. It was signed by Freemasons. So I'm not condemning Masonic orders in America. And incidentally, that's another very important point. America is the only country in the world ever to have a written constitution which guaranteed our freedom of speech and our freedoms that we have come to rely on. That is very important. Extremely important.
Jordan, remember in the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, it was the first time in history that they divided the state from the so-called church so that people would have the freedom not only to have religious freedoms, but that it wouldn't infiltrate, you know, the political maneuvering
right.
of desperate, despotic, soulless, moralist creatures would not be able to, you know, present themselves as religiously to a religious population who knew better, who was educated. I think the point that we've been making on this show is that people have become so dumbed down, they've forgotten about this, and they are taking these charlatans, these wolves in sheep's clothing.
That's exactly
who hide
right.
behind the guise of religion.
Yeah,
of all religion.
Our government in America is crawling with secret societies out of Europe, out of Germany. I mean, skull and bones, that was a symbol for the Gestapo in Nazi
yeah.
Germany, for God's sakes, wake up. That was the symbol for the Nazi Empire, was skull and bones.
Yeah, the fasce on the back of the Congress room,
yeah.
as you so many times pointed out, was an old Roman symbol. So we are being controlled and manipulated by exactly the same forces that were operating in Europe for millennia. These people are very smart.
That's exactly right. Americans have no idea in the world about the history of Europe and its devastating effect on the whole world. And I'm saying, if you really want to get down to, and this is my opinion based on 48 years of my involvement in this story, look at British royalty today and look at the Vatican and watch the manipulation of an exploitation of the human race by Rome. I'm telling you, there's something very big here. They're telling you in movies like Godfather, and especially Godfather 3, where even in Godfather 3, they show the connections between Mafia, La Cosa Nostra, the underworld, the Black Hand, especially P2, Propaganda Due, the P2 Lodge of Freemasonry, that's in the movie, Godfather 3. Go watch it.
And be very, very aware of these pompous, underinformed or manipulative mainstream shows that try to co-opt the work of people like Jordan, that dumb it down, and then try to tell you that there's no connection between all these different organizations. You know, there's a hydra. Jordan's always explained that it's two hands serving the same brain. Don't fall for this new leaking propaganda that is dealing with this subject matter, but skewing it so that you don't see the truth.
In America,
so that actually, what they're doing is they're creating internecine fights between factions, because divide and rule. The British Empire, right? All colonialists, and even those who are trying to colonize your mind, these people don't just colonize countries and nations and wipe out indigenous peoples and destroy all around them. They also try the colonization, as Jordan was talking earlier, about the human mind, the human soul, the human sensibility. That's what they're really feeding on.
Exactly.
And therefore, these media oracles are in their pocket. Henry Luce was it Knights of Columbus or Knights Templar?
Yep.
And every media org, from Conrad Black to Catherine Graham and the whole Smithsonian Institutes that fund all the archaeologists to seed all their lies about the world, we have to be immune to what they're feeding us, because it might look attractive, but they've just co-opted, just exactly like the way you said that in the beginning of the Da Vinci Code, the Langdon character stands up in front of slides that are basically taken straight out of Jordan's early work with no mention and reference to the guy, you know?
So I've been watching this for a long time, what is going on, and it's sickening to me how many Americans are totally unaware, unread, and are not alert to how this thing is being played.
But they're waking up, Jordan, slowly.
They are waking up, you see, but we also have to be sensitive to, I don't know, it's just a thing with me, we have to be reverent and respectful not only to the knowledge but to the purveyors of the knowledge. Just because Jordan doesn't go around with a crown on his head and some silk slippers and the ring of the fisherman or whatever, you know, doesn't mean that he's not himself a noble and brilliant man for doing this. I've always said that if statues in bronze were put in every town and city of America, it would still not be enough of a accolade to this man and his life's work, you know, and this is the fact of the matter.
Kindness. I appreciate your comments. I feel, as I've said so many times, I feel so much better just saying I'm an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I've always been fascinated with other things which other people don't even know exist.
But Jordan, see, you have your supporters and everything. But I gotta tell people who maybe even checking in here for the first time, maybe, you know, they've come to this show for the first time, they'll be listening to it. You know, I personally am mortified. It's the only word I can think of, mortified to my very core, that, you know, you've had the treatment that you've had in your own country, and how people have slandered you, and how people have, you know, tried to destroy your reputation, and worse, and how they've ripped you off. You know, I know the stories, I've heard it, I've backed it up, I've corroborated it. I'm not gonna name any names here, but it's absolutely the only term I can think of is mortifying, that such a man, a gentleman as you, a pursuer of knowledge, a servant of truth, could be so mistreated. Is, I can't even, I don't even want to get into it because it's so...
Well,
all right, let's take some final calls, guys.
Yes.
Wild card line, Matt in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Matt.
They must find it difficult, those who have taken authority as the truth rather than truth as the authority.
Yeah.
To make such a profound statement, that surely shows the level of enlightenment that Gerald Massey did attain throughout his career studying Egyptology and symbolism. Yeah. And I wanted to commend you three gentlemen for sharing your level of enlightenment to the world in the hope that, you know, everyone who's listening and not just hearing can attain that truth that's necessary to reverse what's been done all throughout the world, like you guys were speaking of.
Yeah,
and I also wanted to commend I wanted to commend Jordan for, you know, I know he didn't maybe work with Peter Joseph Morello for Zeitgeist, but that's how I was first introduced to Jordan's work through that. And yes, it was an integral part of the movie. It wouldn't have been the same without that. And I just wanted to ask Jordan a few questions. Have you spoken with Peter Joseph Morello about the upcoming addendum to Zeitgeist? And, you know, I am glad that you guys are speaking about this because everyone needs to know about this. And secondly, I know you mentioned the symbol of Obama, and I just wanted to comment on the fact that I know this is a big news story that he stripped the American flag from
his plane.
757? I'm sorry? Okay, not his 757, but, you know, the one that we paid for and replaced it with his symbol, which to me is indicative that, you know, that's the, you know, his stripping of national sovereignty of America and, you know, promoting this globalist agenda.
Well, and more than that, your name was Matt, right?
Yeah, that's Matt.
Matt, you see, it's more than that. By doing that, by taking the stars and stripes off that jet, he is making a symbol that he does not work for America or for Americans. These are scions, lackeys, minions of the British Empire and what lies behind the British Empire. I'm not implicating British people here. We're talking about an establishment that's run from London that is millennia old. Every politician that you basically have in America for the longest period of time, certainly going back to Roosevelt, has been working for this oligarchy in Europe, you see. And he is showing you symbolically all the show. We've been talking about the symbols and watch for them. And you're right on the ball there. By the taking of that flag, I have a link that shows this, that goes to the news story about this, a section on Obama and his elite, heritage and whatnot. And he is showing the American people in symbolic form. They're not going to say it. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. So, of course, they'll always come out with the right words because words can confuse and deceive as well as they can enlighten and instruct. But symbolism, that's your bottom line. That's what you go by. And when this creature did that, he is telling you, I do not work for America. When the Bush is shaking the hands of the British Queen, when he's lowering his head and bowing to these potentates standing on a red carpet, they're telling America loud and clear through symbolic communication, we don't work for you, we work for these masters.
I told you that when I saw Obama's symbol for his campaign, I was absolutely shocked. I know what that symbol means, and virtually nobody around me is aware of what that symbol actually, where it comes from, what it means, but he's not the only one. John McCain knocked me over when he uses terms which I know German secret societies use, and the classic Illuminati terms, which Hillary Clinton uses. I think, my God, is there anyone running for office in this country that's actually honest and is not on the take? But if you don't understand the symbols and the words and the terms, and if you're not a student of the occult phrases and how this stuff really works behind the scene, you're never going to figure out who these people really are. But I'll tell you what is going to happen. You're going to wake up one morning and find out it's finished. America is done. It's over. And the American people loved it. They went and voted for it. They couldn't get enough of it. And they didn't realize what the symbols meant.
They never saw it coming.
Just like the Nazis. The German people just loved it. They had the new roads. They were all eating for the first time. They had all kinds of great new things in Germany. They never figured out what the real name of the tomb was until it was too late.
David in British Columbia, let's take one or two more calls, and we'll wrap things up here.
Hi.
Hey, go ahead, David, real quickly.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of an occult practitioner, and had some training or teacher in the early 80s. Anyway, so what I wanted to thank your guests for the great work they do. I just wanted to ask, does think it helps, like kind of the ceremonial work that maybe a lot of people like me do to try to bring light into our experience and into our culture and into our human consciousness?
If it works for you, it works for everybody else. All you got to worry about, don't worry about what, when you're dealing with a ritualistic kind of mindset or trying to, you know, bring psychic hygiene and moral hygiene and find your own center, and by using any, because look, my goodness, look how much ritual we're talking about is involved with the royals, you see, and all of the different potentates we've been describing. Look how important ritual is in their life. Of course it's important to bring elements of ritual into your life. There's nothing negative about it. But, you know, if it works for you, if it gives you stability and you insight, and if it, most importantly, if it strengthens your psychic immunity, I mean, here, how can we talk about political sovereignty in the world, right? And financial sovereignty and all of these other securities if man doesn't have it in his core structure, if man doesn't have it within his soul. The man who's not sovereign within himself, the man who doesn't own his own selfhood, how can that man do any kind of good in the world politically, charitably, or religiously, or anything else in the world?
Nothing but a slave.
Michael Tesserian, in as much as I pay you the handsome sum of $0 to appear on the show, get your website out, would you?
Thank you, George. Well, the book is on astrotheology.net. Just go. The easiest way is just to go to michaeltesserian.net. That's a navigation page to the book and also to the Architects of Control website, which is, you know, the film we've got coming out in a very, very short time.
And we've got, of course, you, Jordan, jordanmaxwell.com.
Yes, sir.
Jordan, I will see you in Santa Maria next weekend.
Righto.
Okay, my friend. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, George. Thanks for the time. And thank you, Jordan. I'm glad I got a moment here to pay homage to you. You're a great man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, George, for having us on.
Absolutely. These two guys know what they're talking about. In a very difficult subject of symbolism, the occult, they know what they're talking about. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.